There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over a million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
College football coaches tapping into a new subset of off-field experts to improve the program. Chuck Oliver Show on a Thursday. He's here. David's here. You're all here. We have guests coming up. I'm here. Let's talk college football. And head coaches, hither and yon. Mario Cristobal to the... Does Alaska have it? Mario Cristobal to Jed Fish. Everywhere. Division I, certainly, when they can afford it. When I say college football coaches are tapping into a new subset of off-field experts to improve their program, sure, to improve the program. I wonder about all of the boxes that they're trying to check here, but to improve the program, absolutely. And when we talk about off-field experts, your linebackers coach, he's an on-field expert. The wide receivers coach, he's an on-field expert. Your strength and conditioning coach, that's off-field, but that's always been there. At some point, there started to be different philosophies, and particularly among the biggins, but different philosophies for coaches on, wait a minute, is there another way for players to train? And when I say particularly with the biggins, is it still going to be the Nebraska and Wisconsin offensive lines from the beginning of football until about 1998? We're big and huge, and we're going to mash you, and this is what it is because it's 1998. It was that way. Everybody wanted the same thing. And then if you were a smaller level, well, maybe you wanted five linemen on the move or whatever. But for the most part, bigger was better, and we all wanted to be Nebraska. But then someone thought, well, what if we had more athletic in linemen with better endurance, for instance? And so we still had strength and conditioning, but then we would have performance coaches. And you would hear discussions, and this happened probably by the late 80s, maybe. There was already talk about, well, do we want to be more explosive or do we want more just like brute strength? So they started making choices. So strength and conditioning, then performance coaches, then nutrition science, and then mental health, and I'll say optimization resources. Visualize the catch. The ball's coming toward visual. Like, it's about, we care about the kid's mental health. Well, you also care about him making the catch on third and eight. And so I'm giving you these examples of, I said at the beginning that head coaches are tapping into off-field experts to improve the program. I was like, wonder just to improve the program. This is a good example of it. You'll hear him say, all the mental health of our scholarship athletes, of our kids, the children in the program, it's so important to us. And sure it is. Absolutely. They want good things for the kids. They don't want anybody, you know, mental health challenges that go just, you know, unassisted. They don't want any of that for them. Who would? They also want them squared away mentally and emotionally and intellectually so they can catch the ball on third and eight. So that's really what they want. But under all of those banners, no matter if it's we're going to teach you to eat right, we're going to teach you to study better, we're going to teach you, you know, whatever. We want our scholarship athletes with all available avenues to excellence, whether it's the food you take in or how you work out after you eat it, whether it's how you sleep, and here's a hyperbaric chamber. Anybody, have you used one of those? Anyone? You don't have to respond. It's more, I'm just talking to you. I have not. I know someone who has one. He's rich. I know someone who has one, and he has told me that 1 hour in that hyperbaric chamber, he said it's like 8 hours of like good sleep. Good. He says, and you don't get good sleep when you have kids. All right. You stop sleeping good. He says, sometimes you just stop sleeping. He said, but you certainly stop sleeping good. He says, 1 hour, 8 hours of good sleep. I was like, I'm intrigued. But I don't have like 30 grand to spend on that. So, or however much it is. But you know who does? Alabama football. Let's be honest. Purdue football. Washington State football. Like, if you play Division I football and you think, wait a minute, for only 30 grand, Heath, how much is a hyperbaric chamber? For 30 grand, and we can buy like five of these, and all of a sudden our athletes are well-rested, and they work out harder, and they get bigger and stronger and faster, and then we beat Washington for the Apple Cup? Five? Give us 10. Like, that's just kind of what you do, isn't it? Because you're a Division I football program, and so any way we can to help our scholarship athletes be elite, we will do that. Well, we're also trying to protect them from themselves, and I will say that the environments around them, you're so great and you're bulletproof, that we have created in large part. Kirby Smart had former NFL player Dante Stallworth in to talk to his team about drinking and driving and tragedy and being over the limit at 7 a.m. and killing somebody trying to catch a city bus home from work. He had Dante Stallworth in to talk about all that because Dante Stallworth did all that. And now Dante Stallworth is a motivational speaker that you can book for a fee. I'm just giving you information, not commentary. And Dante Stallworth will come in and tell what he lives with. Those are his words, by the way. I come in and I tell him exactly what I've been living with for every day since I think it was 2009. And I'm sure it's sincere and heartfelt and all that. But it's also become sort of a sub-industry. And there's not an industry if there's no market. And the individuals on the I just got hired side, like Dante Stallworth, couldn't be further from my mind. They're people that exist, the industry, their jobs, because someone is really eager to hire them. In fact, a lot of someones. And I'm talking about college athletic departments all over America have started bringing in way more frequently than they ever used to. And there's one example that they've done forever, but way more than they ever used to. Guest speakers to tell about what could happen if you make a bad choice under this banner. For Kirby Smart and UGA, Dante Stallworth was brought in to talk about what could happen tragedy-wise from someone who's experienced it and has to live it every single day and that daytime nightmare. It's the worst thing you can have. And so Dante Stallworth went and talked to the team. And Kirby talked about that. He's like, I had Dante Stallworth in to tell him tragedy and this. So, and you lose everything. And so Dante Stallworth was brought in, and his task, his category, the sign Georgia got to put up on the wall was, we've educated our kids about the dangers and potential tragedies of drinking and driving. All right, we've got that one. That's on the wall. The one that's been done forever to benefit the player or maybe to protect the program is prisoners talking to younger folks who are on the outside still and haven't made a bad decision yet. I was doing my student teaching at Notasauga High School. And I say I did it at Notasauga High School. It was K through 12. And I want to say there might have been 400 kids there. But they had an assembly. Brought in somebody from county jail. And he gave the talk in the assembly. And I'm talking like elementary school kids in there. So whether it's fourth grade in Notasauga, Alabama, or it's the team meeting room at Texas Tech. Folks, prisoners been talking to young folks who are on the outside. That's been done forever. And so the prisoner's one thing. The former NFL star that, hey, I watched you in college. That's another. But it's also Brenda Tracy. And Brenda Tracy, who, she was at Oklahoma after Joe Mixon. And that's the first time that I remember her story. I was like, oh, that's right. And this is what she does now. Sometimes it prevents a tragedy. It absolutely does. Sometimes it turns into Michigan State. Well, I mean, literally, there's nothing worse if, and I'm just going to operate for the next 12 seconds as if her allegations are true. There's nothing worse than pushing that same button on a person who has been damaged before between the ears and the heart and everywhere, like doing the exact same thing over again. That's her allegation. So we'll see how that plays out. She's suing them for $75 million. Essentially, it's, okay, that money you're not paying Mel, pay me. I think it might be, it's almost a direct overlay, like literally them. So we're not paying you this fill-in-the-blank money. And Brenda's like, I'll take it. And she's going to get some of it. I don't know how much. There's another person I know who I was going to, I don't know if I'll say her name. She said her name. She promotes it. I know David Cutcliffe at Duke a couple years back. Ole Miss has had her in. Rachel Barbeau, somebody that I worked with, done TV with her. She travels around and talks about sexual assault and how to not treat people. You see these signs, and that means you're getting yourself in trouble. Former mobsters who have become responsible citizens, and I want to warn today's youths. That was just okay. Today's youths about the evils, the dangers, just how scared those kids at BC were. In 1979, hard to get your big, tough point across through, like, the oxygen mask and the wheeze and all that, but they will, I'm telling you, a college football coach, lots of boxes to check. Are we being proactive and responsible with our student athletes and the program? Because we're trying to check all of these boxes. It was stay out of prison. And then it extended beyond that to don't drink and drive, don't sexually assault anyone, don't gamble. It goes well beyond, you know, you broke that route off at 12 yards and the quarterback's expecting it to be 14. And so at the time, and so we threw a pick. Like, it goes way, 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 way beyond that. And so when you hear Kirby talking about, we had Dante Stallworth in. You're thinking, really? It's like, yeah, really. And that's the one that he told you about. Folks, there are a lot. Like, I'm telling you, there's a roster. It's a sub-industry. You can go online and Google motivational speaker, college athletes, drunk driving. Motivational speaker, college athlete, sexual assault. Motivational, I'm telling you, whatever cat gambling, whatever it is you want, you can find it. And it is in part coaches saying all of these categories are now way, way, way bigger challenges than they ever. Kirby Smart led the SEC in interceptions. He was a really good football player. It was also 100 million years ago. And I don't just mean because it was the late 90s and people, you know, different style of play. I ain't saying that at all. I'm saying the different in just general walking around experience on a college campus now versus 1998 or 7 or 6 or 5. When was Kirby there? Whenever that was. It's just an unbelievably different set of challenges now. So they're trying to address some of those and also trying to say in court later, no, we did everything that a reasonable person could have expected to do. We did it all. So that's the dual purposes, and I hope it's just the good and the benefit, and that's how it really turns out. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll continue on this Thursday next.
More college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
I'm a huge Burt Reynolds fan. He was not a great actor. He was a movie star. And it's a very, very different thing. But in The Longest Yard, if you saw the original one, he played Paul Wrecking Crew, who had been an NFL MVP. And he's a quarterback. And so, you know, the story, they're going to play the guards. And in probably the most realistic scene in the movie, the first thing the quarterback does is he looks at the rest of the prisoners who are going to play on his team. And he's like, all right, one, you five, you're my offensive line. First thing the quarterback will always do is say, all right, we're going to protect me. Anybody else surprised that of all the things that Deion improved, at least, his kid is the quarterback? Even that phrase, I don't care what you do to me, just don't screw around with my kid. And I believe that, by the way. I think by the time you get to be an adult, like you're in your mid-30s, you realize, you know what, I'm going to be fine. I'll make it no matter, just don't screw with my kid. I think that's most people's attitude. Deion's kid's the quarterback, who got sacked a conference-leading 56 times last year. They didn't go to a bowl, folks. You do the math. Do you know what kind of beating a kid has to... And it's not a kid. It's his kid. I don't know. Maybe like Chip Kelly. He was the head coach at UCLA. His kid wasn't quarterback, and he got hit second most in the conference. It wasn't close to Colorado, by the way. Colorado surrendered 56 sacks, most in the Pac-12. UCLA was second with 42. So they were really, really bad at protecting the quarterback. And I thought the one thing he'll get transfer portal, I know Travis Hunter's coming and he'll get some other shiny, sparkly pieces, but he's going to protect his son. And that is the position that I think actually they did the poorest job at last year as far as on-field product. And here's the kick in the pants. They spent on that. They invested, like, their recruiting resources. And I'm not even just talking about, like, straight, like, here's a bag. They did some of that as well. But, like, traditional sort of recruiting in the high school, and you're a five-star senior, and we want you to come in here, as well as trying to get the guard from, you know, Tulsa and Penn State. They went every avenue. They brought one kid from Jackson State. They got three transfers. They got four high school kids. Like, they did everything horrible, and his son's the QB. Everybody knows it. Paul Crew knew it. He was in prison. He was like, I don't know. I'll take whatever happens in the yard, but on the football field. Like, imagine that. A prisoner even knew. Most important thing, offensive line. It just really is shocking to me that we're at this, and they've got another five-star coming in that the kid was at Seton that they kind of bought or recruited or true loved or whatever. I don't care how they got him. Don't try it with him. Whole new line. Hey, what's up?
Well, kind of in context with that, Chuck, is a story that most people aren't going to care about that listen to us on a day-in, day-out basis, and I don't really care about it other than just it shows what's coming. Because, again, we had a transfer portal in the fall. We had a transfer portal last year in the spring, too. But this one's different because the NCAA has taken it on the chin enough times in court that they basically have thrown up their hands and said, all crime is legal. So anybody before who was reluctant to say, I don't want to get involved yet. I don't want to be, I'm the car dealer who helped fund this, and it turns out that we get put on probation and somehow it damages me. I don't want to risk being that guy, so I'm not ready to jump in with both feet yet on funding name, image, and likeness or transfers or anything else. The UNLV folks are still having spring practice. April 6th is their scheduled spring game, so about five practices left. Yesterday, out of the blue, their starting left guard announced, hey, guess what? I'm out of here. I'm into the portal. A whole big thing here on his graphic about what a great experience it was, how God's grace led him to UNLV to pursue his dream, yes, and yes, starting offensive linemen, teammates have been my family, and I'm leaving. Bye. I don't know, Chuck.
God's dream and my family, but...
Transfer portal with 2 years of eligibility remaining. Peace out. Call me crazy. I'm just going to guess that he probably has a pretty good idea where he's headed. And it could be because this is another guy who has a background that's similar to other players that Big Dave, father of DJ, you has helped place at places. It could be that there's a connection there. Don't know. But this is going to keep happening. It's not always going to be quite as explicit as a guy with five spring practices remaining just saying, you know, I don't even need to go to these if I'm leaving, and I know I'm leaving, so let me just announce it now and be done with it. So I don't have to run the risk of getting hurt in the last five practices.
Yep.
But I don't know if it's always going to be this explicit, but you are going to have a lot of these kind of moves any coach at a Group of Five program right now that has a competent, because you just hit it, Chuck. Offensive line is the hardest place to find anyone who can help. It's a reason the last few years you've seen multiple SEC teams. You've seen, and not just scrub SEC teams either, Georgia, Florida, LSU, go and get linemen from the Ivy League because the Ivy League doesn't let grad students play. So these are guys who've played, you know, 2-3 years as starters in the Ivy League, but still as starters. And so SEC teams have been scooping them up where they can get them. Because it is so hard to find anybody who is a quality player on the offensive line that is looking to transfer. And so now there's a different way to find somebody, which is drop that bag, baby. And I think this is just the tip of the iceberg. I think we're going to see the worst offensive lines in Sun Belt and below kind of conferences that we have ever seen, because anyone who is any good is going to be somewhere else.
Yeah, the tough part is, and this is for a local business or a larger interest maybe, I don't know, an autograph dealer with a back room full of autographed silver UNLV helmets now, there is a very good chance, and I'm just going to use this kid as an example, okay? In a case like this, what has not been unusual at all is, like, for instance, it's March 28th, okay? This past weekend, he's at an event for a sponsor taking name, image, likeness money from a UNLV fan-related business, et cetera, taking UNLV-based name, image, likeness money this past weekend. He can't enter the portal officially until the 15th. There's a chance he's taking name, image, likeness money from his new stop already. Like, it is that just float with the wind sort of easy to check. Lane Kiffin was talking about it. Like, Lane Kiffin had comments. He says, now, we're in the portal, and, you know, we're not going to protest it. We don't like the three-point shot. We think it's a gimmick, so we're not going to shoot any. Yes, you are. So Lane Kiffin's been clear about that, but it's the same sort of thing. It literally is a semester-to-semester thing. Caden Proctor, he got extra – my understanding, he got extra name, image, likeness money just to go out and play in the bowl game. Then he got Iowa name, image, likeness money. Now he's going to get more Bama name, image, likeness money. It is a semester by semester. It is really a moment by moment sort of thing.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand in hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation, to planting over 1 million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action. The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
To Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
All we go all year is all about football and the Chuck Oliver Show. The concept of we're at football practice and there are like 8 receivers in a line, and whoever the 7 behind the guy in front are, they just kind of stand around waiting on their folks. You may as well send kids out there without a face mask. Like, that is not what it's done anymore. Oklahoma, they're having spring practice. They're in the SEC. But I think it's July 1st, but they're in the SEC now. And they're repping 6 quarterbacks who are paired with 6 running backs who are paired with then 6 wide receivers. And it is bam, 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 because Brent Venables looking around, we got a new OC, we got work to do. So Jackson Arnold's the starter, but all these other guys, we got to figure stuff out. So we got to figure it out, too. So we're going one of the best in the business from OUinsider.com. It's a Rivals thing. Also, KREF in Norman. It's Parker Thune. Parker, welcome back, friend. How are you today?
Not bad at all, Chuck. How you doing?
Oh, I'm good. Jackson Arnold, he's better. He's the starting quarterback at Oklahoma. That's kind of a fun thing to be. Is the Jackson Arnold career, the era, going to kick off with all? I mean, like, there's so much anticipation and hype for him. What's the early thoughts on what the follow-through will be?
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, he's a guy that was very highly regarded coming out of high school, five-star prospect in the class of 2023. And I think what has Oklahoma fans feeling really comfortable with Jackson Arnold moving forward as their starter is that he's been allowed to develop at his own pace. Obviously, Dylan Gabriel was the starter last year. Arnold wasn't rushed into action. He did have to come in and kind of be the emergency fire department in that game against BYU when Gabriel exited in the second half with a head injury. But he got to enjoy one start very tail end of the year at the Alamo Bowl. He had his ups, had his downs. You know, it's the type of performance that you would expect from a true freshman going up against a defense that was as good last year as that of the Arizona Wildcats. So he definitely made some freshman mistakes when he saw the field, but also flashed a lot of that promise that got everybody so excited when he signed with Oklahoma out of Denton Guyer High School as a five-star prospect back in December of 2022. So I would say as of right now, the feeling surrounding Arnold moving forward in year one in the SEC and year one for him as the starter is one of general comfort, especially with the weapons that he's going to be surrounded by in that Oklahoma receiver room, because they are deep and they are talented.
Saw a picture of DeMarco Murray. Looks like he can still play, but he does not have eligibility, and they got plenty of running backs. Gavin Sawchuk, special kid, or no, he'll be the starter, but other guys will get carries, or here's just a bunch of running backs, and they're going to figure it out?
Well, first off, you're 100% right. If DeMarco Murray wanted to lace him up, he could still go for 1,500 yards at the collegiate level. I have no doubt about that. But as far as Sawchuk is concerned, that's the guy for Oklahoma in the backfield if he's healthy. And I think the one thing that kind of has folks apprehensive about him, and understandably so, is he was dealing with that hamstring injury for much the first half of last season. And hamstrings can be pesky. And when he was unbothered by the hamstring, you saw down the stretch, five straight 100-plus yard games to close out the season. He is more than capable of being a bell cow running back in the SEC and a really, really good one at that if he is 100%. He's got the breakaway speed. He's got the physicality. He's everything you look for in a three-down back, can impact the game as a receiver. So if there is a three-down back on Oklahoma's roster, it's definitely Gavin Sawchuk. However, what you have seen from Oklahoma for the better part of the last decade, and you can go back even further, I would say for the better part of the last two decades, ever since the Adrian Peterson era at Oklahoma, is that they have tended towards using a committee. And generally, there's been a guy that has still handled the majority of the carries, you know, 50, 60% of the touches, sure, but they like to be able to utilize multiple running backs, and they brought in a transfer from UT Martin, Sam Franklin, who was a very prolific rusher at the FCS level and very highly coveted when he got in the transfer portal. They're looking at him, rising junior Javonte Barnes, and incoming freshman Taylor Tatum, himself a former five-star prospect, as some of the guys that are going to have the opportunity to make a dent in the backfield as the change of pace.
Talking the OU Sooners from the Southeastern Conference with Parker Thune. He's noon to three under Norman, KREF. Let's talk wide receivers. I've heard Deion Burks is out there making people notice him. The reason I want a complete overview of this wide receiver position, because you'd mentioned the hamstring. Hamstrings and groins, those are the two injuries that you can get to 99%, screw it up, and you're all the way back to start over again. And wide receiver is a position where in spring, if somebody's limited, they're like, nah, you stand off to the side. You don't need this right now. So who's practicing and what's it look like?
Yeah, well, you know, it's an old running joke that everybody looks like a first-round pick in spring, right? But I will say, from the availability sessions that the media has been given to some of OU's practices, as well as the word of pretty much every single program source I've talked to on Deion Burks, they're talking about that guy like he's going to be the best of the bunch at wide receiver for Oklahoma and potentially one of the more dynamic receiving weapons in the entire country. And he was exceedingly productive last year, all things considered, in what was a real stagnant Purdue offense. And so he hops in the transfer portal, comes to Oklahoma, and no doubt with the collection of weapons that OU has accumulated in the receiver room, he's not going to have that same pressure of being the only guy that can go make a play. And that should open things up significantly for him. He's going to be primarily occupying Drake Stoops' old role there in the slot. But the Sooners bring back Nick Anderson, who had double-digit touchdown catches a year ago. That's the type of receiver that can legitimately do it all, impact the game at all three levels, short, intermediate, and he can beat a man deep. Jaden Gibson is a really exciting guy who's going into his junior year, 6'5". And one of the fastest on the team. Andrell Anthony led the Sooners in pretty much every major receiving category over the first half of last season. He's a Michigan transfer. Ended up injuring his knee in the game against Texas, had to have season-ending surgery, and so he is not participating in spring ball. Kind of like you alluded to there, Chuck, the Sooners have simply decided, you know what, we're going to keep you on the shelf till you're ready to go full tilt, and that probably won't be until either late summer or the beginning of fall camp. So they're not rushing it with him with all the depth that they have elsewhere. Jacquez Petaway is going into his sophomore year. He was a top 100 overall recruit in the 2023 class, another guy that just brings a bevy of speed. And Brennan Thompson is one of the fastest players in the entire country. Clocked a 100-meter time below 10.2 seconds in high school and saw very limited action for Oklahoma last year. But when he is on the field, everybody knows when Brennan Thompson walks onto the field what he's doing. He's just trying to beat you deep. And oftentimes, even though they know full well that's what's coming, he'll do it. And you saw
Put him out near the numbers, just send him smoking down the sidelines and say, all right, what are you going to do? There's something about having a heater and making somebody show they can defend it that I'm a big fan of. Wrap it up, Parker Thune, OUinsider.com. Rivals also noon to three out there, KREF in Norman. All right, I say every day, 9 states and 60 sticks. Well, nobody in those 9 states or at those 60 stations probably know the Oklahoma offensive line coach. Other programs came sniffing around. They were playing footsie with him. He got a new deal. What's the new line going to look like? Because they had to be like everybody else. Hey, are there any transfer offensive linemen?
Yeah, they brought in 4 experienced transfers. The best of them right now looks shockingly to be a guy that was a former walk-on at the University of North Texas, Fabetchi Wiwu. And obviously when former North Texas head coach Seth Luttrell landed at OU as an offensive analyst and then was promoted offensive coordinator, when Wiwu got in the transfer portal after a really strong 2 years at UNT, Oklahoma was a natural destination for him. For the life of me, Chuck, I have no idea how this kid ever walked on anywhere, because he might be the strongest player on the team and somebody that just stonewalls pretty much anybody he goes up against on the practice field. So the Sooners also brought in Michigan State transfer Spencer Brown, Washington transfer Garen Hatchett, who started for the Huskies at left guard. And then Michael Tarquin, who's got plenty of starting experience, 28 games worth, at both guard and tackle at Florida and at USC, respectively. So the Sooners got some young guys in that group that are going to be coming up. You would figure that incumbent starter Jake Sexton is going to be the guy at left tackle, and we will probably man that left guard spot. But the other 3 spots, very much open right now, and there will be plenty of healthy competition amongst a multiplicity of guys to hold down those roles for Bill Beedenbo's starting offensive line. So the picture isn't totally clear right now, but Beedenbo has made chicken salad out of chicken, you know what, so many times over the years that I don't think Sooner fans have many concerns at all about that group.
All right, flip it around, and just by everybody, like I said, we're every station we have, SEC country, and we see depth charts. We, you know, hear guys talking about, you know, this position on defense, and it's the spur or the stinger, and we're like, okay, what is that? Is that the fly around sort of safety who can get near the line of scrimmage? What is the cheetah on Oklahoma's defense?
Well, I mean, look, Chuck, it's a nickel. That's what it amounts to. They'll have some linebackers play that spot when you're facing more of a run-heavy team that you know you're going to have to come downhill more. against. But primarily, down the stretch last year, they had defensive backs. They had guys who had been bred as safeties or corners that were occupying that cheetah spot. So it's just kind of a dressed-up design on your traditional nickel role. And again, it can be a linebacker that technically occupies that position, or it can be a defensive back. But that's the easy way of explaining the cheetah in Venable's defense.
Man of a certain age may call him a rover back.
There you
go. You'd have to be a man of a certain age. Is the Venables brand of defense going to take hold? They had to do a talent upgrade. Most people didn't realize that. When he showed up, there were not a lot of five stars in that program on defense. On offense, yes. Where is the talent level, and what's the bottom line improvement on defense going to continue to be?
Well, they brought back two guys that could have left for the NFL and been high-round draft picks, and linebacker Danny Stutzman and safety Billy Bowman. So those are going to be your meal ticket guys for Oklahoma on the defensive side of the ball. It's not getting talked about a whole bunch, Chuck, and I'm not sure why, but the Sooners, from a talent retention standpoint, did exceptionally well this offseason. And obviously bringing back Stutzman and bringing back Bowman were crucial in that. Stutzman was a guy that was very heavily leaning towards the NFL before the Sooner staff had a couple sit downs with him and, you know, had a heart to heart, and he did some soul searching and decided he wanted to run it back for his senior year. But the Sooners are bringing back 9 of 11 defensive starters from a year ago. They brought in several impactful guys via the portal, including Miami of Ohio defensive lineman Caden Woolard, who was 9th in the entire country in pressures, and Des Malone, a guy that's been a 3-year starter at cornerback for San Diego State, and statistically and metrically, one of the most productive guys at that position, one of the better lockdown corners in the country as well. So you add in 5-star defensive tackle signee David Stone, who's expected to make a big impact right off the bat. And all of the pieces are there for Oklahoma. The question is this the year where it kind of all comes together?
Last thing, and this is kind of funny, but it's also kind of serious. And just, you can give a quick comment if you want. Were we being silly way back in the day when we all, from outside Oklahoma's state borders, we all believed that talk? If you take the Sooners, you got to take the Cowboys too. Like, did everybody in Norman understand in the moment that that was just comedy?
Oh, gosh.
Because we believed it in Georgia, I'll say.
No, so you're talking about realignment, I assume.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
That when the Pac-12 was going to take Oklahoma, got to take Oklahoma State too. And it turns out that was never true.
Yeah, I'm not sure why there was that perception that Oklahoma and Oklahoma State were joined at the hip like that, because they're not, never really have been.
Yeah, it's just kind of funny because you hear something like North Carolina, North Carolina State, and UNC's like, we don't even really talk to them much. So appreciate it as always, man. Thank you for your time.
Yes, sir. Never a problem. Take care.
Barker Thone, OU insider, Rivals, and also Noon to Three out there in Norman. That was the talk. It was the Pac-12 back in the day with realignment was, you know, if they take, how can they just take Oklahoma and Texas? If take Oklahoma, got to take Oklahoma State too. No, you don't. No, you don't. And I don't like, it's always about either a governor or the state legislature. They won't let us stay a flagship. Who was talking about, was it the South Carolina governor or the North Carolina? Some governor was talking about, I would think that if this flagship university, and I was like, well, you think wrong. Basically, he's trying to get as many, I think it was North Carolina's governor talking about who would be welcome in what conferences. And I don't even think, like, you put the political capital out there for Wake Forest and Duke. For NC State, maybe, because it's a bigger, gianter university with a kind of big, giant stadium. What's Carter Finley, like 65,000 or so? 62, 61,000, whatever it is. 60,000. But it's a big, giant environment there. And so they would love for that talk to be true, and it's good for the governor because North Carolina folks know you're not going to blow our deal. You can do whatever you want. And the NC State people go, yeah. So it's a political thing when it's just not a reality thing. All right, we're going to take a break, continue, Rapid Power 1 next.
Catch
the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
I think differently, especially after using it. I think it's really like having a cheat code in Madden offensively. And I don't know that they've really thought defensively of what exactly that means. I think the assumption is just, oh, you talk to the quarterback, but there's really more to it than that, especially the way we run our offense.
Chuck Oliver Show on Thursday. That's the Ole Miss head coach, Lane Kiffin. Y'all know him. My question, when's he played Madden? Like, when did Lane Kiffin ever have time to really sit around and play Madden? He's been actually coaching actual football. So he had, you have time for recreational pursuits, but it seems kind of, you know, strange to me. Like, I don't think Emeril in his off time uses an Easy Bake Oven, you know? Like, that's just odd. He's talking about what happens in Madden. I know he's just making an overall point. There's a chance he's just throwing out the colloquialism. But that is Lane Kiffin, and it's the in-helmet communication. I'm more interested, honestly, in the guy on the receiving end of it. I've talked about Jackson Dart. At some point, I'll say next week, Heath and I are going to talk about SEC quarterback rankings like his and mine. And, again, a particular way he went about creating his 16, which is the same way I did. And where Jackson Dart, my takeaway was – that I had him way higher on the list than if you would have asked me, Chuck, start listing them in order, start at the top. And where do you think Jackson Dart will come in? I was like, oh, I don't know, man, six or so, six or maybe five. No, Jackson Dart won a third. And that's only because I'm such a huge fan of Quinn Ewers, and I think Carson Beck might be the first overall pick in the draft. So that's what I think of Jackson Dart. And the chance that he had just raw bottom line productivity this coming season, the fact that he showed 2 years ago, oh, wait a minute, he's more of a runner than we expected. And then this past year, okay, well, he can do that other thing too. With all the returning talent and then some of what they added, just a really, really lot of potential this year, which is why everybody in Oxford's thinking playoffs. So, full day on the Duncan Newsmaker line. We just had Parker Thune on from OUinsider.com. It's a Rivals thing. We talked to Oklahoma Sooners with him. He's also noon to three, KREF out there in Norman. So, coming up in hour two, our truest reporter for Southern Cal football from USCFootball.com, Ryan Abraham, and then bottom of hour two, talk a little UK with our truest reporter for the Kentucky Wildcats from the Cat's Paws. It's a 247 effort. It's Aaron Gershon. So all of that's coming up. Southern Cal and Kentucky in hour two. And again, I appreciate Parker Thune making time as we go through now SEC football whenever we're talking the Sooners. What's up, Heath?
So there's something going on today, and it continues on into tomorrow, Chuck. We talked about it a little bit when it first got announced, but now we're seeing it in practice. The Big 12 is doing a pro day, not Baylor's doing a pro day, Texas Tech's doing a pro day. The Big 12 is doing a 3-day pro day for their players to get the maximum number of NFL scouts there. Now, that's the goal. I don't know how successful the goal has been because LSU just had theirs with Jaden Daniels in the house as the featured attraction, but a bunch of other high-end talent, obviously, on that LSU team, too. And then you had Drake May doing his thing now, so anybody who needs a quarterback needs to be at UNC. So I don't know if they're going to succeed just based on the timing of those pro days. If they're going to get as many of the top NFL decision makers all in one place the way that they were trying to. But I am very curious to see how this thing plays out because, again, if there's one thing we've seen, it's that if one conference does something and it's successful, there's a pretty good chance other conferences are going to look to copy it. But I'm not sure this is something that the SEC, for example, could copy. I don't think the SEC schools would want to give up having the guys on their campus. But two, I mean, can you imagine, Chuck, if you were trying to do an SEC NFL
combine?
It's the combine. It's the Senior Bowl. It already exists. This is to basically say for anybody who wants to play for a Big 12 school, you're going to get a shot at, with a maximized opportunity. You don't have to worry about, well, if I go to Iowa State or K-State, I'm not going to get the exposure that the Alabama kid gets or whatever. It's at least an interesting idea. I am curious to see what the outcome of it turns out to be. And the one conference I would think would be the most likely to try and adopt it would be the ACC, because while Clemson and FSU's pro days are always going to draw pretty well, I'm not sure, say, Virginia pro day or BC pro day are exactly packing them in. Some sort of collectivized grouping of a lot of ACC schools, if not all of them, feels like it would make a lot of sense if this works for the Big 12.
Credit them for trying what may work for that conference and their details. Like, everybody's has a path, a different path to success based on what you are. And I think in their setting, with their interest level, number of teams, I think this is actually a really good positive thing for them.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over 1 million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action. The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.